Welcome everyone to Sunday with the Sky Family. As you can see, we have had a marvelous, even miraculous transformation since this winter, meaning like earlier in May, when this was a wasteland. So we thought we would bring you outside here to see the backyard here at the Sky Family Lodge when God's blessing of warmth comes upon the fields and the flowers spring out. But if you could really see the rest of it with the lupins, you would just be amazed how beautiful it is here. We've got just fields and fields of these multicolored lupins that come up that are just so gorgeous. So we thought we would give you just a little taste of the island and perhaps entice some of you to come up this summer to visit us. And best of all, that you could come up for Revival PEI July 24th. So, without any further delay, let us beseech the Lord and ask for His blessing on this day. Lord God, I praise You for each one that comes here to hear a message, Lord. And I pray that that message would be from You so that no one would be disappointed. Lord, if I speak, they'll go away empty and not fed. But if You speak, Lord, their spirits will be greatly lifted up and they will go rejoicing through the week. And so I pray that You would speak, Lord, that You might bring words of life, that You might bring a river of life to each person. I pray, O Lord God, that You would bless and strengthen each one, that they might overcome the evil one. Lord, please bless this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to go over to the book of Numbers. And I'm going to read, and then I'll give you a little background of where we're reading from. It says, the people of Israel began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to sacrifice with the, to their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses and the leaders of the people, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal. Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel while they were weeping at their doorway of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into his tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. And those who died by the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. It shall be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the sons of Israel. Now the name of the slain man of Israel who was slain with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, the leader of a father's household among the Simeonites. The name of the Midianite woman who was slain is Cosbi, the daughter of Zur, who was head of the people of a father's household in Midian. Now, to give you a little background of what was going on here, Israel had begun its conquest of the land of Canaan, and every place that they went, they had resounding victories, and they were completely overwhelming their enemy. So much so that when they were camping before Moab, Moab was in an absolute panic because there were millions of Israelites camped before them, and they had heard the report of those who had been taken by them. And so they were in great panic and fear, and they called to Balaam to come and to prophesy and to curse Israel to stop them. And so when they brought in Balaam, of course we know that when he went to curse Israel, he was unable to curse. Instead, he blessed them. And so Moab three times had Balaam go to different positions in order to curse Israel to eliminate this threat. And three times Balaam blessed them instead of cursing them. So now the Moabites are beside themselves. They don't know what to do. So, do you know what they did? They were unable to face the Israelites head on. So, do you know what they did? They changed their tack and they befriended Israel. They befriended Israel. And so, they sent out beautiful women into the camp of Israel to invite them to a huge party. Wasn't that an amazing thing to do? To invite them to a huge party. Who could resist that? Beautiful women coming over to invite them to a big bash. Because these pagan celebrations, the worshiping of their pagan gods, was not like a formal setting like the Catholic Church where you go in and you worship. No, it was. It always included a wild abandonment to the flesh. It always included drunkenness, and it included orgies. So that these pagan celebrations were great, wild affairs where they were completely abandoned to the flesh. And that's why when the Israelites made the golden calf and they bowed before it in the wilderness, it says that they rose up and they began having orgies in the right after. That's because that was part of the pagan worship. That was part of it all the way through history. Always included these great perversions. And so now with beautiful women coming over to invite them to a big party, well, this was irresistible to the fleshly minded. Absolutely irresistible. And they were enamored of these women, and they went over to the camp with the daughters of Moab, and they began joining in with this pagan celebration, so that they left the camp of God and they turned and they worshipped a foreign god and celebrated before it. Now, just as it was then, so it is now. Okay, well, fast forward to the future. Just as it was then, so it is now. So now, when Satan is unable to confront and face down those who are doing exploits in his name, he befriends them. He befriends them. That's the next thing the devil does when he can't stop some force of good, is he befriends them. Now, this is the exact method that he used to take out the Jesus movement back in the early 70s. In the early 70s, God poured out his spirit in such a remarkable way that people all over the place were being touched and filled with the Spirit of God and filled with righteous zeal and for a supreme love for God. And the leaders of this movement weren't the church leaders, because these people didn't go to church. They were hippies. And so the leaders of the Jesus movement were essentially the music groups that came out of that era. And these music groups were great torches that went before and led many people to righteousness. These were great, great sources of inspiration. Keith Green among them, but there were a number of groups that were leading people forth in righteousness. And the devil was unable to stop them. I mean, they were just going forth and doing good everywhere, and many, many people, millions of people, were being affected and being drawn to God through these music groups. And the devil was beside himself, and he was unable to stop this powerful movement of God. And so, while he is in a complete rage and a panic, he says, "What am I going to do?" And he looks through his archives, and he rummages through his files, and he comes back to Numbers 25, and he says, "Oh, yeah, this is what worked in the past. All I have to do is befriend them, and I can completely destroy them and annihilate the threat if I befriend them." And so that's exactly what he did. He took these music groups, the leading lights, the ones that were leading many to righteousness, and he befriended them. He began to give them success instead of the opposition that they had faced all that time before. He now put his arm around them, and he began to give them the praise of men. He began to give them the acclaim of men. He gave them success, great success, and in some cases money and prosperity, but mainly it was the praise of men. And the praise of men is an irresistible elixir. It is like a drug. It is so intense that there's not a single man or woman who can resist the acclaim of men. And so, through the acclaim of men, these same groups that had done such righteous deeds, they became corrupted, and they began to go over and visit the daughters of Moab. They began to party with the daughters of Moab. They began to act like, they began to have the success and the appearance of the pagan gods. Okay? Now, just remember this and think about this. In our culture, our pagan gods, we don't serve at various altars of Baal. Our altars of Baal are our rock concerts. That's where we began to openly serve gods that is not the Lord. And so our rock concerts became the focus of our worship, and our rock stars became the object of our worship, and through them we were worshiping the deities which propel them to their position of fame. Remember, these people made absolutely no bones about where they stood. The Rolling Stones never hid the fact that they had made a covenant with the devil. They never hid it. They openly belonged to Satan, even calling the second album their Satanic Majesty's Request, after they had made that pact with the devil. And so many of these groups that I have risen to fame, they are supported. You see, they don't just come out of nowhere. They're supported by deities, meaning false gods, by demons. They're supported by demons. And as we go to these concerts, and the frenzy that results is all part of this abandonment to the flesh and the worship of these gods. It's so amazingly similar to back in the old pagan days. Same thing, only just new names. Now, instead of it being called Diana, it's called the Rolling Stones or any number of other groups. And so, now we have the leaders who were leading many to righteousness going over to the camp of the daughters of Moab. We have them going over to their camp because of the success and the acclaim, and they begin to emulate and imitate the world and the world's ways and the world's conscience. They begin to imitate it. They go over. This happened during the 80s. I watched it happen as one group after another went over to the daughters of Moab. I watched each one go over, and then this time went by. It got more and more and more corrupt, and then into the 90s, and now into 2009, where we find that the Christian concerts and the pagan concerts are indistinguishable. They are indistinguishable. There is no way to tell them apart. In many ways, the Christian concerts outdoing the world in worldliness. There's a complete abandonment to fleshly impulses, a complete abandonment. There is no standard for godly behavior. There is no standard of righteousness. There is no law of God which has not been broken by those who follow this path. It is a complete abandonment. But worse than that, way worse than that, is that they put the name of Jesus on all that they do. So not only are they serving pagan gods, serving themselves, working for the praise and adulation of men, but now they're putting the name of the Lord Jesus on all that they do. And so as you go to these concerts and you see these concerts and there's a complete frenzy of abandonment, and they put the name of the Lord Jesus on, this is an abomination to God. This is completely disrespectful to God, and it shouldn't be. It should not be. Now, let's go back to Numbers 25. And see what happened there. It says that Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, and he rose up in the midst of the congregation with a spear in his hand. Phinehas rose up with a great resolve and a great zeal to put wickedness out of the camp. And what was God's response to that? What was God's response? He went into the tent and he speared them right through. What do you think God said to that? Well, it says the wrath of God was abated and that the plague was checked and that it stopped. And then God goes further and gives him a perpetual blessing, an everlasting covenant that his descendants would serve before God as priests. And why did God bless him so much? Why did God give him this covenant of blessing? It says because he was jealous for the name of his God. He was jealous for his God. And in that jealousy for him, he rose up and boldness put wickedness out of the camp. And so God blessed him. Flash forward to right here and right now. God also will bless you and will bless us if we have a zeal for God, if we are jealous for our God, if we are jealous for His good name. Think about what the name of Jesus represents. Our God is the God of all beauty, of all holiness, of all loveliness. He's the God who created this. He is the God of the mountain ranges. He is the God of the sunrise and the sunset. He is the God who created the intimacy of a mother with her child. He is the author of all creativity, of all harmony and all melody, all beauty comes forth from God. And all that God does inspires men to rise up in dignity. In dignity. Because, you see, God's purpose is to raise up sons and daughters of God in the image of His Son, Jesus. That's what God's plan is. That's what He's doing. And so, when we see these things that go on in His name that result in an abandonment to the flesh, all wild impulses, just giving in to any fleshly impulse that there is, and we see that they are, people are degraded. When we see these things, we know that God is not in the midst of it. And if we are jealous for the good name of our God, we will say, God is not in this. If we are bold and we are able to speak up and say, this is not God. If you think that this is Jesus, you have not met Him yet. You do not know who your God is. If you think that this cacophony of wild impulses can be reflective of the Spirit of God, then you do not know the Spirit of God, nor have you ever met him. Because our God is lovely. Our God is beautiful. Our God has self-control. Our God is holy. And so today, we must be bold. We must speak up. There's only one or two that I know of that are speaking up. Brother Dave Wilkerson is speaking up, and I'm speaking up, and I don't know anybody else. I'm sure there is, but we need to be bold. We need to say, no, this is not God. We have gone over to the camp of Moab. We are serving the gods of Moab. We are committing harlotry with the daughters of Moab. We are acting like the world. We are engaged with the world. We are abandoning ourselves to the passions of the flesh. We have lost the standard of holiness. We need to be bold and speak up and say that the world is over here and the Lord is over here, and they are not the same. God is holy. He is different from the world. And in the concerts back in the Jesus movement, when we had leaders that were leaders, a concert was a holy experience where people were melted in love for God. It was a beautiful event that left people wanting to be closer to God and walking closer to Him in holiness. And we don't see that now. We do not see that now. But we hear the name of Jesus plastered all over it. We hear the name of Jesus screamed out in the middle of these celebrations. We hear the name of Jesus all over this, and we must be bold and say, this is not the Lord. This is not God. This is not how our God acts. This is not reflective of the holiness of God, and we need to be strong. And if we will speak up, if we'll put it out of our house, that's the first thing, is for us to personally stop engaging in it, right? Understanding that we're assimilating the world and the world's values and the world's celebrations by having these pagan concerts and these pagan looks, we have to understand that we're compromising ourselves. So put it out of our own house and have our children put it out of their lives. Just get rid of it. Just say no. Just put it out. And then speak up boldly. You'll get your head chopped off, I understand that. But John the Baptist got his head chopped off, and he's all the better for it. And so you will get your head chopped off if you speak up, because nobody is saying these things. Nobody dares to say that this wild cacophony cannot possibly reflect our holy God. No one will say it. No one. They're too afraid. So you be the one to say it. You be the one to say, no, this is not God. I don't care if Jesus' name is on it. I don't care about it at all. This is not my God. And compel people to come out of it and to serve the Lord in holiness. And if you do that, who knows what God might do in his appreciation that you are jealous for the good name of God, that you are jealous for his good name. Who knows that God might not give you a perpetual blessing of priesthood as well? He will. He will. If you are zealous for his name and you are jealous of his good name, God will bless you. So I want to urge you to be strong, to rise up, to be bold, and to make no compromise. And even though it's very scary and it'll make you just one in a million and everybody will be against you, go ahead and be that one in a million, because there's another million someplace else that's got that one as well. And you two are going to be great friends. So be bold, rise up, proclaim the loveliness of your God's name, serve the Lord in holiness and in all joy. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that what we see here around us is a reflection of your personality. This is who you are, a God of all beauty. I pray that you would impress upon our spirits the desire to walk with you and to be bold for your name and to be jealous for your good name and to speak up and proclaim the loveliness of your name. I pray you would bless each one who is listening, greatly strengthen them, that each one would become a force for good, that each one, Lord God, will be a force of righteousness where they are. Let your hand of blessing be upon them mightily. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. I hope that you take this lesson with you through the week and more than that, through the rest of your life, to be jealous for God's name. And as we approach July now, we are getting close to a revival PEI. We still have a little bit of space left, and we have space on our floor and in the yard if you want a tent. So that starts July 24th and goes through August 2nd. If you can possibly make it for that period, it would be wonderful. Or for just a couple days, or three or four days, or a week, whatever, it'd be great. If you can't make it up for that time, and you can come some other time, we are here all of July and August, and of course, we'd love to have you come and stay in fellowship with us in any case. So, you guys have a wonderful week, and may God greatly strengthen you.